You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Coming up on this week's RedCafe.net podcast, we try to hide our disappointment at the Champions League exit and discuss where it all went wrong. We also look to January and ask who, if anyone, Fergie will bring in. Plus, we find out who at United exactly goes by the name of Quagmire.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
Hello and welcome to episode 89 of the RedCafe.net podcast, the Christmas edition of the pod. I'm joined by Dan and Dov, as is always the case. Guys, how you doing?
I'm very well, Steve. How are you, pal?
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, hugely disappointed about the Champions League exit. But
can we just mention before we go on any further? Last week was my birthday and Steve came up to Manchester to see me. Meant to be going out for two nights and He kind of bailed out on the second night, didn't you, Steve? Bit of a hangover from the Friday.
How did I bail out, though? I was there.
You went home by 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
We stayed out till about 4, mate. And you at uni, you used to be able to do like 2 or 3 nights in a row. I don't know what's happened to you.
I'm too old now, Dan. I'm past too those old stages now.
Anyway, Dol, how are you, mate?
Yeah, no, I'm not bad. That's a poor show, Steve. That's a poor show, I've got to say.
Oh, here we go.
You should have seen him on the Saturday morning, though.
To come out and everything, so he can't moan.
No, I'm not moaning. I thought I enjoyed Friday night. Friday night was good. Yeah. Eventful.
Did you get any nice presents?
Not really. No, I didn't really get any presents. I got nothing to open, really. I just got some money. That's about it, really. I mean, obviously that's good and it's helpful, but you know, I didn't have any presents to open.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
It is a bit sad, really. I've not brought it up yet, but I'm sure I will do one day.
United beat Wolves on the day, though, Dan, so that was a nice little present for you.
That's right. That's right, yeah. That is right. I loved that game, didn't I?
Can you remember anything that happened that weekend?
I was a bit hungover as well myself, to be fair, but I was sat in the ground, it was freezing as well, and I was just shivering all game, and I didn't really take it in, to be honest with you. Good game, though. What I remember of it.
It's good insights from you on the game then, Dan, if you didn't really take it in.
Well, no, the atmosphere was quite good. The Wolves fans were singing Thursday night, Channel 5 and all that lot, and to be fair, the United fans were singing it as well, so it was eventful, wasn't it?
I love that. That's what you took out of that game, a couple of chants is good. I like it.
Well, I mean, it was a game, wasn't it, really? A game of football. We won 4-1. Some good goals, actually. Then Nani's goals were good, and Rooney obviously scoring for the first time in about 20 months or whatever it is.
I think what you said off air needs to be brought to the public's attention, Dov, about Dan being Carl Pilkington. So, any of our UK listeners?
No, I'm not sure, right? I'm not being funny. Steve, off you for the past 3 weeks, I've had Edin Dzeko. I don't look nothing like him. And now you're saying I sound like Carl Pilkington.
That's some cross of two people.
That's it, you see. I look nothing like Dzeko. I'm a better footballer, of course. That's maybe where I was getting it from. But
I like how you went from being better than Darren Gibson now to being better than Edin Dzeko as well. Yes. So come next week, you're going to be better than Messi.
I think I'm actually better than Darren Gibson. I've got ability. I've just never been scouted, you know what I mean? In fact, I've scored 2 goals in 2 games for my club as well, which is pretty consistent for me.
Prolific.
It is. That brings up to, I think I played there 5 years, I've got about 6 goals.
And you play up front?
No, I play midfield, mate.
And that's that. You've scored more than Berbatov this season as well.
I have, actually, yeah. I put that on my CV.
How's things in Italy, Dov?
Everything's all good. I wouldn't say it's exciting, but I went to Genoa versus Milan a couple of weeks ago and managed to get tear gassed. They had to stop the game, you might have seen, but that was quite fun. I've never been tear gassed before, but I wouldn't advise it. It's not very comfortable.
That'd be too pleasant.
Oh, terrible. That's terrible. But yeah, other than that, nothing else is happening. I'm coming back to the UK, and about, well, by the time people listen to this, I'll probably be in the UK. So there you go, for Christmas. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, as you can tell.
Well, looking at United guys, well, I mentioned the Champions League defeat there in the intro. We'll get onto that shortly. But no, results in the league generally have been pretty good. Aside from the draw with Newcastle, we've won every league game since then. Then there was, of course, the defeat to Crystal Palace in the League Cup. Just quickly, what were your thoughts on that? Were you disappointed to drop out? Did you feel it was like getting a competition out of the way?
It was ridiculous. Ridiculous performance. I was there as well, and it was like there was no atmosphere, which you kind of expect anyway. But it was a poor show. We had quite an experienced team out as well. I mean, people keep saying, oh, it's on the League Cup and all this sort, but you know, we had Raphael, you know, we had Fabio. Fabio's played in a Champions League final. Small and England international. Johnny Evans, who was captain on the night. You know, he's an international footballer. You got Valencia, Park, Berbatov, you know, they're experienced players. And Crystal Palace, I thought, for the majority of the game, they deserved the victory. They pressed us well, they kept the ball well, they counter-attacked us brilliantly. But it's just one of them games, and I know, Dov, you like your Italian footballers, but Makeda was absolutely awful that game.
Well, they're like good Italian footballers. Makeda's generally... I think he's... people are starting to call him a one-game wonder.
I think so. I think he only plays well against Aston Villa.
That's true, but it wasn't a good performance. And what's his name? Darren Ambrose's goal was wasn't bad.
I was sat right behind that, and I saw it just fly, and it was unbelievable. The ball moved so much. Amos, I thought at first it was down the other end. I thought Amos could have got there, but I saw it on TV afterwards. I was like, no chance.
Yeah,
good strike. Deserve it to win any game.
Come on then, guys. We've got to discuss it at some point. The Champions League exit. Well, ignoring what was the terrible result on the night in Basel. Shouldn't have really come down to that, should it? Having to draw that final game should have been sewn up long before that.
Yeah, I think Patrice Evra kind of summed up in an interview after the game where he just said it wasn't this one game. It was the whole, all the performances. Like, in all the six games that contributed to it, which is exactly right. I mean, I can't even think. I'm trying to think of one of the games where we played like quite well in, and I'm really, really struggling, because even against the games against Galate, we didn't look 100% at our best. But just individual mistakes, and if you make mistakes like that, put in performances like that, then you get what comes to you, and we didn't deserve to go through. It's as simple as that.
It's the fact that out of the games that we played in the group stage, we only beat one team. You know, we beat Galati twice, and that's it. It's a poor show, really. And actually, Steve, I owe you an apology, because I remember I was at the Basel game, the home game, and Steve texted me in a right mood. He was complacency, all this, that, and I was like, Steve, don't worry, it's one game. But you know, he was right. But that game cost us, you know, 2-0 up, and ended up having to come from behind to get a draw in the last minute. You know, it was. That's the game that probably put us out in a way. I'm trying to look at the positives. Anyway,
you're struggling.
There aren't many positives. Well, the only thing is, you know, it might give us an opportunity to relax a little bit in Europe rather than be expected to win the Champions League. You know, the Europa League's not as hard win, I don't think. And the only consolation is that City went out on the same night.
I think if you want to take a positive, then you can maybe think of it as the younger players will kind of look at that and learn from the mistake, that when they come up against a team that they're expected to beat, they can't kind of sort of take their foot off the gas, so to speak, and they need to make sure they get a result before they start relaxing or whatever else.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously players like Jones and Smalling probably never experienced much, you know, like that, and Welbeck and the like. You looked at that game away in Switzerland, there was no leaders out there, you know what I mean? Rio tried his best, and obviously Vidic got injured. And there was nobody there who wanted to push the team on. Rooney was exceptionally poor in that game. Not just the miss that he did in the first half, but I just thought generally all round he didn't look up for it. It was all he expected to, you know, for us to win the game and go through. I just think, like Steve mentioned, you know, I think it's just a bit of general complacency or overconfidence. And I think that Basel have had a pretty good season. They've gone a lot of games unbeaten, and it was never going to be easy.
I think the players thought that after the draw with Benfica in the first game away from home, that the hard part of the job had been done, that maybe they could sort of take the foot off the pedal a bit, and well, the results would come against these supposed lesser sides. But we ran out of games eventually, didn't we? We sort of left it to the last minute and thought, well, we're still going to qualify, we've only got a draw in Basel. But talk about these teams having to go to these tight grounds when the fans are on top of you and loud as ever, and you sort of think, well, it can't play that much of a part. But I think it really did in Basel. I think they were so lifted by our supporters, and they just worked their socks off, didn't they? And they wanted it more than United. And
work. I think the thing that killed us in that game as well, I mean, we started off the game in the first 5-6 minutes really well, and then obviously their first attack, you know, De Gea flaps at it a little bit with his feet, and then, you know, it's in the back of your net, and you're always going uphill, and there's always pressure then to get that goal. I think that actually we missed Michael Carrick in that game. Just somebody, we didn't really have any proper midfielders. We had Jones in there, who's done all right lately in midfield, but he's not recognised midfielder. You had Giggs in the middle, and you had Park. You know, for the champions playing in Europe, you know, when you, in a game that you need to pick up a point, at least you need to have some sort of midfield in there, and I don't think we had any at all.
I think that's kind of been a problem since the start of the season, really, that's not been addressed, as having midfielders generally. I think, given what's happened recently, they'll probably look to buy somebody in January. But I want to get your opinion, and I probably know where this is going to go, so it's maybe going to be a stupid question. But after the game in Basel, I was listening to some BBC radio, and the amount of people that started, that were really, really getting on the back of Fergie, just basically saying, that's it, get him out, get rid, we need a change. I'm guessing that you, both of you will agree with me that that's complete and utter rubbish, and people need to start just relax a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's just a simple case of complacency in the Champions League. I mean, look how we're doing in the Premier League. No one else has really been able to keep pace with all their millions, but we're still up there, and well, still confident we can win it this season. So I don't think it needs a reaction like that. I think we need to keep hold of Fergie as long as we can, really, because he's the sole reason we've won as many trophies as we have. I'm sure Dan will agree with that, but never know with Dan. Controversial.
Well, actually, do you know what Roy Keane said lately in the papers about Ferguson only doing it for himself and all that? I mean, it's a bit controversial, that, wasn't it? I didn't expect nothing less from Roy Keane. But obviously, Fergie, yeah. Fans were saying, you know, to maybe it's time he should move over, but what's the point? He's still clearly a good manager.
And you've obviously seen there as well, there's been talk of a potential reprieve if Basel are thrown out due to this row that's been brewing between the Swiss FA and UEFA. Personally, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want to go back into the Champions League after being knocked out at, well, due to our own fault, not because of a last-minute controversial winner that shouldn't have been or anything like that, and then say we went on to win it. I mean, would that tinge it slightly that we'd been allowed back in? I can't see it happening, to be honest, but it's a hypothetical.
Not at all. If you win the Champions League, when everybody looks at the history books, they'll see that you won the Champions League. They're not going to remember, oh, they were let in by a technicality or a row or whatever else, that you would have the trophy at the end of the day. And that's all I'd be bothered about. Celtic got let back into the Europa League because of Sion, because of this whole transfer embargo thing in the first place. And their fans seemed quite happy about playing in European competition because it was quite embarrassing them getting put out as well. So it wouldn't bother me whatsoever.
Interesting.
Well, no, but it can imagine if we got let back in. City would be like furious, and all the scouts would be up in arms on it. It'd be brilliant. And then if we went on to win it, it'll never happen though. We're not good enough to win it. So.
And just briefly, Europa League guys, Ajax in the round of 32. At least it's a watchable tie, if anything. We're not having to play, I suppose.
It's a Champions League tie, Steve.
Exactly.
You know, it's a Champions League tie. And to be fair, who did City get?
Porto.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. So, two good games there. But I've always said the Europa League's a massive competition. You know what I mean? I've always been a massive fan.
Yeah, I'm the same as you, Dan.
On that note, guys, would you rather see us then focus attention on the league, as Dan's sarcastic comment suggests there, or should we be going out to win this as a sort of way of picking up for the Champions League exit?
Look, you've got to go in it to win it, haven't you? I say, anyway, the best thing, really, I mean, it's the experienced players that I thought let us down in the Champions League this year. Make them play in this competition, you know what I mean? They don't want to be there. Make them play in it.
But then will they put in performances?
Imagine Rooney turning up in the Europa League, he's thinking, what am I doing here? If he gets seen up against a rubbish team, I think, what is this?
The thing is, as well, a competition at Fergie and United have never won, so why not try and win it? Add it to them.
I think they will try and win it. People keep saying about, oh, we need to play the youngsters and stuff like that, but no, I've got the other way. Make all the experienced players play in it. So it's their fault we're in it anyway. Got that so, long after.
So instead of being a... So basically, the Europa League's a punishment for the players, Dan.
No, I think so, yeah.
It's a good way of putting it, really.
They don't want to be playing it, let's be fair.
Probably not. Like, obviously, a lot of them want to be playing the top competition. So,
and they should have performed better, then, shouldn't they?
No, they should have. But I still thought, to be fair, I'm kind of agreement that you're in it to win it. So why not try and actually win it? So at the end of the day, if you get to the end of the season, right, and City win the league, Chelsea win the FA Cup, somebody else wins the League Cup, and then we get the Europa League. It's a trophy.
You're waiting for a trophy a season.
Yeah, you get a trophy at the end of the day, doesn't matter.
And, you know, you have to look at it realistically. We're only 2 points behind Manchester City. People, you know, a month ago, they were running away with it, but we've closed the gap. We should be top, really, if we'd have got the 3 points against Newcastle. It's just one of them things, but I think we're in good form. We're playing well at the moment. You know, I think we've got over the fact that we're out of the Champions League. But I think that, you know, you've got to win to win trophies. We're playing against City in the FA Cup as well, which is a 50-50 game. I think it's our best chance of winning a trophy this year.
And just quickly going back to the domestic scene in the most recent game against QPR, just something to throw out there with this one. With Carrick's goal, do you think that's a case of Ferguson having possibly told his players, or his players seeing that there's that missing thing, hardly in the centre of midfield, that they're sort of rolling up their sleeves and thinking, well, why don't we try and demonstrate that we can do that sort of role, can drive on forward and score goals?
Fergie came after the game, didn't he, saying... that was only joking, of course, but he was saying that Carrick was told to just sit in front of the back four and he's going to fine him because he went away from his position, which is it's quite funny, but it highlights the fact that, you know, a lot of United fans don't like Michael Carrick. And I've argued countless years, even with you, Steve, I think, how good a player Michael Carrick is, and he obviously gets told to do a job in the midfield, so he's not allowed to break free all the time. But it shows he's capable of doing it. I mean, it's a good little bit of skill to get away from Barton and Forlan as well. And all right, he's scuffed his shot a little bit, but, you know, it was a good goal. And Jones as well in midfield, powered on a few times, he hit the post, and he had a one-on-one as well. I think them two are really good pairing in there.
And Dov, obviously Nemanja Vidic out for the rest of the season. How much of a blow is that, and would you spend in January on a centre-back? I know we thought we had plenty of defensive cover at the start of the season, but with arguably losing your best defender, would you be tempted?
No, he's your best defender, granted, but I think with the cover we've got there, you've got at centre-back, you've got Rio, John Evans, Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, you've got four guys there that can all play centre-back, so I wouldn't waste money on a centre-back, to be honest, because you're going to buy a guy who essentially, when Vidic comes back next season, he's going to be another substitute. And to me, that's wasting money. I think you need to buy a midfielder. I think everybody in the world knows what we need is a midfielder. So don't go wasting money on a centre-back. We've got enough.
And I actually think Johnny Evans played really well the weekend. He's had a few games as well, Johnny Evans.
Yeah, no, he did.
He should have scored. I mean, that was a good opportunity for him when he hit the bar, but defensive work, it was brilliant.
And we were wondering whether that was it for Evans a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but it just shows you know, he's not a rubbish... He's obviously not a rubbish footballer. He plays in Manchester United. He's not a rubbish player. It's just obviously the confidence. You know, in the beginning of the season, maybe he thought, well, I'm only back up to Vidic and Ferdinand. Obviously, as soon as them two get fit, I'm going to be on the bench again. And now he knows, with Vidic being out for the rest of the season, he's got his chance here now to play for United all season and make a difference. And I think he's playing really well. I like the way that he brings the ball out from the back as well. He doesn't just hoof it anymore. I mean, when he used to do that, but now he plays it, he passes it in. If he passes it on, he'll go back, he'll keep possession. I've been very impressed.
Do you think that means Phil Jones, because John Evans is kind of seems to keep getting endless chances at centre-back, do you think that means Phil Jones is going to play this season as a midfielder, given that we have none?
Possibly, yeah. I don't see any reason why he play him at centre-half. I've said before on this podcast, you know, the fact that I think positionally he does wander a little bit, especially at centre-half. Well, that's only because he's young, you know, he's inexperienced there. But playing as a central midfielder, he's brilliant. He's box-to-box, he can pass, he can tackle. He doesn't cry out of any tackles, does he? He's good in the air. He's deceptively fast as well. But I think he's a cracking little player.
Yeah, because you get a lot of people in the media saying that they should be playing at centre-back. He's a centre-back. We need to play him at centre-back. And it's like, the guy's good enough to play as a midfielder, then why not let him play there? He could develop into one of the best midfielders on the planet, or one of the best midfielders England have got, for example. But there seems to be this kind of need to play him as a centre-back, because that's where his apparent position is. He's 19 years old. I mean, he could develop into one of the best midfielders on the planet and not one of the best defenders.
He reminds me a little bit of Steven Gerrard, the way he plays. You know, he's maybe not got the technique of a Gerrard, but I think the way that he plays, you know, I think he's very powerful, isn't he? And I think he's, you know, seeing as he only signed in the summer, he wouldn't have expected to play so many games for United. I think he's one of the highest appearance makers this season for United.
That is now out for the foreseeable future. That probably nudged Jones forward into midfield as it is. So, what about it's January's approaching now, and the transfer stories are going to come out. Recently, it's been Nicolas Gaetan, the Benfica midfielder. He's been linked, €35 million apparently. What did you guys make of him when he came up against United? He caused us problems.
He's a winger, though, isn't he? I think we've got enough wingers.
Well, I was looking it up, and I thought he was a winger initially, but then I read a couple of bits.
Well, he played wide midfield against United, didn't he?
Yeah, that suggests he can play sort of central as well, and he does tend to play a bit deeper than what a winger would, and more central. But yeah, I personally thought he was an out-and-out winger, but I don't think that's what we need at all, so...
But do you think he'll spend that amount of money on one player, though? I can't see him deciding to spend £35 million or euros or whatever on one guy.
Yeah, but if you're going to spend £35 million or whatever, why don't you just spend it on someone who's proven already?
He plays at Benfica. No offence to Benfica, they're a very good team and all that, but is he proven?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't. Why would you spend £35 million on someone who's not proven yet, really? Yeah, you know what I mean? You might as well spend the extra $10 million and get somebody who you know is going to do a job for you.
Yeah, it's interesting as well, because I thought that maybe they'd try and bring up one of the youth guys, Paul Pogba being the kind of prime candidate. And apparently his agent, who's infamous one over here, Mina Raiola, who's Balotelli's agent, Zlatan's agent, was at Inter's training ground last week, apparently trying to see if Inter would put in a bid for him or put a nice big contract for him in January, given his deal's nearly up. But apparently he's been told that he's going to stay, or he thinks he wants to stay or hopes to stay. But I just think everybody seems to think money's the answer as well. I do think we do need a midfielder, but why not give one of these guys, Pogba's been fantastic in under-18s and reserves, throw him in, see how he does. Or do you think maybe an 18-year-old, untried, untested midfielder is a bit... is this a bit too much for young shoulders?
Oh, I love Pogba. I thought he was in the matchday squad, actually, on Sunday. I text Steve as well, but he wasn't. He was just in the travelling bit. But I think he's a good player, from what I've seen.
Ravel Morrison as well was one of the only really shining lights against Palace. I thought he played really well. But, yeah... To your point, I don't see why the cup can't be given a go in maybe Europa League. I know we were saying Dante should be punishment for the first teamers that let us down in the Champions League, but something like that could be a good way for them to get experience of playing in big games in front of big crowds and I don't know about throwing them in a Premier League game at the moment, not when it's sort of every game is must win, with City winning all the time as well. So it's a tough one. He likes to embed them in pre-season, doesn't he? Like we saw with Cleverley, like giving them a good run in pre-season to see if they're ready. So I don't know whether we'll see them this season on a regular basis. I'd certainly like to see them given a go.
But he kind of threw Cleverley in a little bit, didn't he? I mean, he's been on loan to a few Premier League clubs and stuff, but he brought him on in the Charity Shield, just said, go on then. And he turned the game around. And he was great in the beginning of the season as well, so it depends how people react, I suppose. But I do like the youngsters. I really do like Pogba. I think he'll make it.
You'd think they must have spoke to him and his agent as well. They wouldn't be silly enough to let him go for nothing and then potentially become a world star.
A lot of this is in the papers. It's a bit inaccurate because I saw an interview with him with Pogba on MUTV, and he seemed happy to be at United. He knows that's where he wants to play, and he's happy to just keep working hard and keep in the matchday squads.
Yeah, I think it's literally a case of money. Like, I think it might be the same interview or another one. Or it was one with, I think, Sir Alex. They were saying that money, if you stay at United and make it, money will come to you instead of him going and chasing money, because his agent's kind of one of these like super agent types that basically tries to get the best monetary deal for his guys as possible, and kind of likes to move them around every so often. So you kind of think that's what was going on, really. Or maybe using the clubs in Italy as a, well, if you're not going to give them 20 grand a week, there are three clubs in Serie A that will give them 20 grand a week, and you'll take the offer. So using it as kind of leverage to get a good contract. But I think he'll stay, to be honest. But he'll be getting a nice wage rise out of it. But I don't know, it's interesting. What about...
He's only 18, isn't he? It's not like he's 22 and needs to move on next.
Yeah, true. What about other ones, like Schneider? Do you reckon... Do you not think so?
Oh, we've talked about this before. I'd love someone like Schneider, but...
Why? Why? I don't understand this obsession with Wesley Schneider. He's what?
He's top class.
Okay.
Have you not seen him play enough? Is that what it is?
I've seen him play plenty of times. It's not an issue. He's obviously a good player, isn't he? I'm not stupid. I do. I like to think I'm quite knowledgeable about the game. And he's a good player. But who's to say that he's going to just jump into United's team and transform everything?
Well, you know, this is probably part of the reason why Ferguson's not going to spend that sort of money, because he doesn't want to.
I mean, what about Luka Modric? I know a lot of people like him, but he's a fantastic footballer. He's an unbelievable player, and we all know he can play in the Premier League, and he would add something to our team, most definitely.
Yeah, but Tottenham don't want to sell him for a start, and you're talking similar money to what you'd have to pay for Schneider as well. So,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know that Modric is going to be able to compete in the Premier League. You don't know who Schneider is.
To be fair, I wouldn't have any doubts that Schneider could play in the Premier League. Schneider's good enough.
Well, all right. Well, why did Real Madrid let him go then?
It's a different scenario, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. If he's good enough, he would have stayed. He's obviously been let go for some sort of reason.
No, he's let go. But I think it's because
it's a genuine question. Why are you laughing?
No,
it's a genuine.
I'm trying to answer your question.
Let him go
because he couldn't get regularly in the side. He wanted to be playing week in, week out.
Why should he get regularly?
Because they bought Kaká. That's why he was let go.
Oh, and he's done great, hasn't he?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter if he's done great or not. They bought Kaká as a £56 million player, thinking he's going to play in your position, Wesley. You're not going to get a game. Bye. And well, look what's happened. Snyder's went on, won the treble with Inter, got to a World Cup final.
They wouldn't have had to buy Kaká, would they?
Real Madrid would take Schneider back tomorrow. If they could exchange him for Kaká, I think they'd do it, because they know he's proven that that was a mistake. Every manager...
What I'm saying is, why would they? They must have let him go for a reason. He mustn't have been good enough.
No, they let him go because they got Kaká, and Kaká would play in his position.
Did you miss my point? They wouldn't have got Kaká, would they, if Schneider was doing the job?
At that time, Kaká was viewed as the best player in the world. So if you're a club, right, and you want to buy in the best player in the world, if there's another player who plays in the same position, you're going to, like, maybe not say to their player, well, I think they pretty much did say to him, well, he's the best player in the world, he plays in your position, he's going to start ahead of you. And Snyder didn't want to leave. Snyder was well up for fighting for his place, but Real Madrid basically told him, get lost.
And as well, obviously, he played for Ajax, didn't he, as well? And he was a fantastic player at Ajax. I remember, you know, I did see him a few times at Ajax. So he must have always had the talent. So why did nobody, like, why didn't United go and get him then?
Well, you could say that for a lot of players, couldn't you, that, that went to other clubs and United, you'd have thought would have been in for him. But look at David Silva, he was at Valencia. Why didn't United go for him? Anyway, we'll be here all day.
Actually, I've got an interesting one for you. Somebody else I really like, and this is going to sound stupid now because we've been talking about players like Modric and Snyder, but that lad at Fulham, Dembele, he's a cracking player. I tell you, I wouldn't mind him in the team.
Yeah,
genuinely.
He's a good player, but then again, would he be able to make the step up from Fulham to United? It's one of those sort of posts.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be as big a gamble, would he?
True.
He's a, player. He's a very good player, no, I think.
He's a good player, yeah.
He's a pretty good first touch. He can pull away from people. Decent finisher as well. How old is he? Doesn't look that old. Must be quite young.
You get checked, Yote, as well, from Newcastle.
Anyway.
Just, yeah, to be fair, you don't really need somebody to play in the Champions League either, so you just need to make sure that they can perform in the Premier League. So, why not?
Anyway, it's silly season. We'll get to all of that next month. I think there's going to be all sorts flying around. Anyway, it's getting to that silly season time, and we'll pick all that up next month because I'm sure we'll be linked with all players under the sun. But we'll move on to player and cabbage of the month now then. Dov, who'd be your standout player for the past month?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Mr. Wayne Rooney. A couple of goals against Wolves, good performance there.
You did?
Oh, no, well I'm it's more recent.
I never felt mature here. He's played...
No, he's got two goals against Wolves and he got his goal against Queen's Park Rangers, so I know it's not a month.
Have you just scored against Wolves in that game?
You've not seen me play, Dan. No, he's got goals, and to be fair, we need goals and we need him.
He's got three goals,
but you know how it works. He gets on these little runs where he starts scoring and it's coming up to Christmas, so I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. And I can't think of anybody else that really deserves it, to be honest, because I think we've had a terrible month. So that's why he's getting it from me.
Come on then, Dan, enlighten us all.
Phil Jones. Need I say more?
He's been all right, I suppose.
He's been all right. He's a young player. I think he's shown real determination, a bit of leadership, passion, commitment. You know, scored a goal. Scored two goals, actually. One less than Rooney.
One less.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say, Dolph, I've got Phil Jones written down for me as well.
There's only one Phil Jones.
The reasons Dan outlined, I think Nani's played well last couple of games as well, and remember he was probably the standout player against Basel. So, Nani was a potential choice. What about Cabbage then? Dan, start with you this time.
I'm going to give it to Dolph because he's an idiot. No,
that's terrible. We can't have none of that.
Sorry, mate.
We can't have none of that. That's terrible.
Right, I apologise. Cabbage. It's a tricky one.
That's not bad. It's not tricky. You've got like half a team to choose from.
I'm Wayne Rooney.
The only reason you're doing that is because I picked him as player. That's why.
No, I'm not. I think he's been disappointing in all but the last two games.
That's like half a month.
Right, hang on. Right. Did he play well against Newcastle United?
Played all right. I'll try to think off the top of my head. I'm trying to go back about 50 games.
Did he play well against Aston Villa? Did he play well against Basel? No. That's so. Say a three games. He's five games this month. He's been poor in three of them.
I think that's a podcast first. A cabbage from one, and yet a player from another.
And plus, he went eight games without a goal or something like that, wasn't he? Seven games without a goal.
He has picked up, though, last couple of games. Played well.
Yeah, but this is what frustrates me, aren't we? We've been through this before. You know, he'll score in the next 10 games. But then he'll go the next 10 without a goal.
True, and he's coming into the good bit. So give him the benefit of the doubt, then I when he's in the good bit.
I know he's our Premier League all-time sort of goal scorer, but I think he can do more.
No, I would agree with you. I think he could do a lot more, especially given...
I'm going to tweet him now and say, listen, Wayne.
You don't tweet, Dan. You don't tweet. We know that.
I don't tweet. No, if I did, I'd say that to him. I'd say, listen, mate.
We'll find him.
Your cabbage.
Patrice Evra. I think he's been rubbish the last month and pretty much every single game he's played.
Assist.
So now I'm an idiot and a racist. This is terrible. I'm going to the FA about you then.
No, what I meant to say is that obviously about this racist racism storm that he's involved in. It must have affected him a little bit.
I don't know, he might be making it up.
He's making it up.
He might be making it up. You don't know, it's one guy's word against another's. But yeah, his performances have been crap. So whatever's going on in his head, then he needs to sort it out, because he's not been very good. And it's been a while since he has put in a string of consistent performances. And I'm maybe going 18 months. He's been not at the top of his game by a long shot. And I think just the last month he's been extra terrible. So,
well, we were saying off air, weren't we, about the fact that he's maybe not got any competition. So he's going to get a bit complacent, isn't he, if he knows he's playing every game? And so that could be another issue as well, the fact that he is playing virtually every game. He doesn't seem to get rested much.
I'm going to give it to... I think it's got to be David De Gea. The mistake against...
You hate him.
What?
You hate him.
I don't hate him.
You do. We had a drunken conversation about this. It all comes out when you're drunk, Steve.
I was really excited about the deal when he first joined, and I thought he was a top goalkeeper. I still think he is a top goalkeeper, and regardless of the mistakes he's made at the very start, he's still making them. I mean, that one against Basel, when he went led with his feet, shouldn't have done that. That's cost us a goal. I'd have started Lindegaard in that game. I'd have had him. I'd be playing Lindegaard at the moment. I don't see why he's not been given a run of games, because he's played well whenever he started. But yeah, nothing against David De Gea. I think
you don't like his fish hair. You said that as well.
I didn't. But yeah, I want to go on record to say I do think he's been a fantastic player. I just think at the moment, I think Lindegaard should be playing.
But
I kind of agree. I actually kind of agree. I think Lindegaard, he's not done anything wrong, has he? You know?
Put him in, and then when he makes a mistake, then, yeah, it's time to bring De Gea back.
The only thing is, though, like, if you play Lindegaard now for a few games, if he does make a mistake, then who do you play?
Well, then you bring De Gea back.
But do you not think that would kill De Gea's confidence?
Yeah, that's...
Like, because they say he's a young goalkeeper, and they've seen what happened, for example, to Paul Robinson when he was the England's number one, makes a couple of mistakes, and then that's it. Career's pretty much over, and he just can't get any confidence back. And
so what we're saying is we have to stick with David De Gea now for the next 10, 15 years.
Well, maybe not 10, 15 years, but give him a few years at least. He's young, he's still learning, and he's going to be learning for a long time as well, and he's going to make mistakes.
What I'm trying to say is that you can't really afford to keep making mistakes when you play for Man United, because you can't do it in the big games consistently, because it loses your titles. It knocks you out of the Champions League. I'm not trying to say that it's down to him that we went out, but his error against Basel did contribute to that.
It is his fault. It is his fault. You're right. The game against Benfica at Old Trafford, that poor kick.
There you go. That's another one.
That was the equaliser a minute after. Just put your foot through it, man. What's the matter with you? Put it in the stand. You don't. No one's ever scored a goal from the stands.
There you go, insight.
But no, De Gea, just because I don't think he's performed very well this month. So and I'm sure he'll improve.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Right then, well, we'll move on now to the Twitter roundup. Dan, seeing as you like it so much, I'm going to let you kick it off.
I want to make it publicly known. I think I said this last month. I don't like this. I generally don't see the point of it.
The people love it, Dan. The people love it.
But I've been outnumbered. I've been bullied into it. it's against my faith, really. But anyway, I'll start by looking at Rio Ferdinand, ex-England captain, of course. I don't know if you obviously watched the game on Sunday. Someone tweeted him saying, running 40 yards to confront the ref is not the best example, when he got a booking, of course. And to be fair, Ferdinand, he replied, saying he agrees and he holds his hand up, not the thing to do. He also mentioned in that game, which I brought up off air, about the United away fans singing to a QPR fan. particularly a naughty chant, which I'm not sure if I can repeat on air. Steve, can I? Or not? You're the adjudicator here.
I don't know. Maybe just...
I could always... I don't know.
We'll do a beep. I'll put a beep in for everybody.
Who's going to beep? I'm not...
No. I'll beep after.
Do you have to be able to put a beep in?
Yeah, I'll put a beep in.
Really?
Yeah. It's wonderful that I can do things like that.
That noise is
bad. No, we won't just go beep like that.
Anyway, obviously there was a rather large supporter in the QPR end, and all the United fans started singing, "Have you ever seen a salad? Have you?" I'm not going to say it because I don't trust you. You'll put a bleep in, and I'll get like shouted at. And then he mentioned as well saying that it was probably Piers Morgan that we were chanting at, which I thought was a bit of banter. He also, Dov, like you brought up, saying he wants a waterproof iPhone or iPad. So when he's in the bath. Which I think is a bit weird. I don't know what he's going to be doing with it, but a bit odd, really. He also mentioned something about when he went to the toilet and someone wanted an autograph or something after he'd been holding onto his genitals. I mean, is this stuff really what we need to know? I don't understand. It's ridiculous. Who else was tweeting? Michael Owen. He just goes on about his horses. He tweets quite a lot, Michael Owen. But he comes across as a bit boring, really. Wayne Rooney's bought a new horse or something. But one of the main points that he came up with, you know when you're watching TV, and he must get frustrated as well. He must have his HD Sky 3D or whatever in his house. And he's watching set pieces, defenders are pulling away at attackers, and the referee comes in and says, right, no more. Owen just wants, just give a penalty. But I kind of agree with that. What do you think, boys? Should we get a penalty for that?
It would stop any shirt pulling and stuff that he's complaining about. So, yeah, we would start getting penalties, free kicks, red cards. Players would soon stop doing it, so why not?
Yeah, I kind of agree. But because the strikers never really do much wrong, do they?
No, I don't know.
So maybe he's in part of the strikers' union there, wanting a penalty. Phil Jones has been a regular tweeter. But he says he has no idea why Wayne Rooney calls him Quagmire from Family Guy. He's got a bit of a chin, but maybe he's like a sexual predator or something like that that we don't know about.
He's 19. Can you be a sexual predator when you're 19?
You should have seen Steve at uni, I tell you.
God, slander on this podcast. That's ridiculous.
Gosh. Tommy Cleverley as well. He's recently signed up to Twitter. And he's obviously injured at the moment, saying he's up nice and early for rehab. But he's looking forward to... Well, he was looking forward to a good weekend of football and going back to Bradford. Obviously, he must have some mates there. And he also had a bit of banter in the changing rooms. Took a photo of some dodgy gear, which apparently belonged to Ferdinand and De Gea. And Ferdinand actually threatened him, I think. But that's about it, really. What have you got, Dov?
I've got a couple. I've got one from Nanny, who put a picture up of him and two ping pong finalists from some tournament, and they called himself the undisputed ping pong champion at United. So there you go. See, this is why we do this, because we found out Nanny can play the piano and he's a ping pong champion as well. And this, it blows your mind. He also went to see Rihanna in Manchester and he had a great time. We've got Wayne Rooney. He was playing in the first players FIFA 12 tournament and he lost the final on penalties to Julian Lescott. So that's quite embarrassing. And you've probably seen this in the paper with some, I think it's some guy from the X Factor. I have no idea who he is, but Frankie Kokotsa. And he tweeted that, "I'm sorry, who are you again? Oh, I remember. You're the kid who's on X Factor who couldn't sing." So I'm guessing there's kind of some back and forward there, but I couldn't find anything. But yeah, he doesn't like him very much. Kiko Makeda has been watching the Italian Big Brother and he says it's getting so, and this bad word begins with an S, which I was quite impressed that Makeda is using this bad language in English, and he says he's going to watch a film instead. And there's another tweet that was interesting. Obviously you have heard rumours like this past week about Makeda probably leaving in January. Somebody actually tweeted him and asked him about it, saying that does he not want to play for United again, and what's going to happen in January. And he says his reply to that was, "I want to," so he wants to play for United, but he needs to play more, so we'll see. So I think that you can probably take that as a he'll be gone quite soon. So, yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. It's not very often you see players responding to transfer speculation on Twitter. Yeah, so there you go, Dan. You wouldn't know that otherwise. Makeda wants to play for us, but he doesn't get to, so he wants to move.
He wants to play, I should hope so.
So there you go, that's all I've got. David De Gea was tweeting Spanish this month, but I couldn't be bothered translating it. So, but he watched the Clásico, I managed to get that out of his tweets.
Good stuff. And Dog, you're going to carry on now and briefly update us on the youth and reserve teams.
As indeed, Steve, it's reserve view time. There's not that many games that really to go through this week, so it'll be quite a quick one. And there's a few heavy scorelines, so I'm going to run through them quickly for that reason as well. The first game we'll talk about is for the reserves, played on the 8th of December. And it was a horrible, horrible, horrible day at the office for United. Sunderland 6, United 3. Four goals for Ryan Noble for Sunderland. Basically, they steamrolled us. So there was a point where we almost came back. Vermeil, Michael Keane and Will Keane getting the goals for us. But Mr. Ryan Noble stole the show. Kushak was in goals for this one. So this will be a game he'll certainly be hoping to forget very, very, very soon. So yeah, we'll move on from that. We don't want to talk about that because there's something much, much more interesting to talk about. It was another game for the reserves, and this one was on the 15th of December, and this was a 4-0 win over Liverpool. A fantastic, fantastic thing to say, isn't it? Although the game was made a little bit easier for us after 25 minutes when Suso for Liverpool was sent off for kicking Paul Pogba. They had a wee clash before, and it looked like he'd actually had a sort of tried to kick Pogba in the face after they fell on the ground, and then the referee had a wee word with his assistant and sent the Liverpool player off. So yeah, that kind of gave us an advantage. We were kind of patient, and just after the interval, Will Keane, he got a goal in the 48th minute. Then Jesse Lingard, whose birthday it was on that day, scored 10 minutes later. Then there was a double from Mami Biram Diouf on 73 and 78 minutes to give us the 4-0 win. So yeah, an excellent win and a good performance from the guys in that one. And now the final game for the reserves and academy side was an FA Youth Cup third round tie against Torquay. This was on the 2nd of December, and this was obviously United trying to defend the trophy they won last year. And also, just so everybody's aware, that if we win it this year, the FA Youth Cup, it'll be the 11th time we've won it, and a record. So let's hope that happens. Like I say, it was four goals from United. Say Tom Lawrence, who just came back from injury, he had a couple of shots before he made the breakthrough, just before the 20th minute. Jack Barnby, he played through an excellent ball for the Welshman, who just turned around, smashed the ball past Aaron Ibbotson in the Torquay goal. Scott Beattie then gifted possession to Lawrence, who then returned the favour and gifted a goal for, or sorry, set up a goal for Jack Barnby just before half time as well. Beattie then scored an own goal himself just after the hour mark, and Juliano van Velsen got a fourth 8 minutes from time, just basically tapping in after Donald Love had a nice 1-2 with Barnby again before he set him up with an easy finish. So it was a good performance from the young guys there. Jack Barnby, obviously, as you could probably tell, star of the show on that one. And in the next round, United will face Derby at home in the sort of the fourth round of that. So let's hope that the young boys can keep it up and retain the trophy and break some more records. Just another thing as well, United are playing in a youth tournament, the Future Champions Tournament. It's an under-17 tournament. United will be playing basically more or less against Brazilian teams, but there's also Chilean outfit Colo-Colo have sent a team there as well. The only other European side are Juve are there, but there's Mexican sides in there as well. So United are in Group C with Corinthians and Colo-Colo. So next month we'll let you know how the boys did. So yeah, not bad time for the reserves and academy. Two big wins and then a crushing defeat, but it's a win against Liverpool, and that's what counts in the end.
Okay, well, before we close episode 89 of the podcast, we'll just briefly look ahead to some of the fixtures coming up over the next month. We've got Fulham away on the 21st, which will probably have been played by the time most of you listen to the show. So hopefully that'll be 3 points. Got Wigan and Blackburn at home after that, and then Newcastle away at the beginning of January. And then it's the big FA Cup tie against Man City. That's at the Etihad Stadium on the 8th of January. And then Bolton at home in the league, Arsenal away, which looks potentially tricky. And Stoke City at home at the end of January. So, really winnable fixtures in the home games against the likes of Wigan, Blackburn and Bolton, but then some tricky trips to Arsenal and City as well. So we look forward to seeing the outcomes of those in next month's show. Make sure you head on over to the Facebook group and join up if you haven't done that already. That just leaves us to say Merry Christmas, and we'll see you again in January.